is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1026, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, and mogul, Derek Miner.
What up?
Oh, my gosh. Just down the road in Germantown, right there in Nashville, our very own downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
How's Nashville treating you?
It's been really fun. I've really liked it. Sorry to admit it, I did go to Broadway, but not like that Broadway. I went to one place on Broadway, and
Emily,
she made a friend.
I did make a friend.
You did?
I did.
She made a friend. She a random drunken middle-aged lady.
No,
who was there?
Bachelor party.
Emily helped her. Emily held her hair. She was vomiting into the gutter.
Yeah. She fell off the bicycle.
Emily, not quite what happened, but
this is what happens when we cancel our time to get food.
Right.
You just start wandering on Broadway.
I was like, well, I guess I got to go to Broadway. That's the only other option.
That's all there is to do in Nashville.
No, but it has been really fun. Haven't gotten on a pedal tavern yet, but you know, I still got time. It's kind of cold right now though, and it's been a little rainy, so don't think I want that vibe.
Yeah, this is not it. You want to do pedal tavern in like March?
Okay, I'll put it on the schedule.
Put it on the schedule. We'll pedal tavern together. Let me.
Can we do the podcast from a pedal tavern?
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
On mobile rolling.
Hey, Emily, let's do a pedal tavern in like March or April and just go live or something.
Just wire that thing up with some mics and ride, man.
Let's do it. I'm with it.
Derek would go live and record from a pedal tavern with Emily Brown.
Oh, without a doubt. No question.
And it's like, well, who's the guest? Who are we interviewing? I don't know. Whoever just randomly jumps on the pedal
next
tavern.
To us.
Yeah, exactly. I had an idea for a podcast one time, and it'd be called Hibachi. Because the theory is, you know how, like the pedal tavern, you don't know who's sitting next to you. You know, unless you got a party that's filling out the whole thing. It's like going to the Hibachi, where you could be sitting next to Rando. If you're going with like less than nine people, set up mics around the Hibachi table and just see what kind of naturally comes out when all these strangers sit together. The pedal tavern has the same type of vibe. You could get the most interesting person in the world sitting down there, you know? I'm all about this.
Dude, the Hibachi stranger banter is always like surface level. It's either a couple of dad jokes or it's like...
Not with me.
You go deep at the Hibachi?
I'm not necessarily deep, but interesting.
You would.
I go interesting.
No, the goal is to make people uncomfortable. Like there's a comedian here in Nashville named Sir Joshua Black, and he literally just goes on Broadway and asks people the most uncomfortable questions, and it produces the funniest content in the world. So I think, like, Emily, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go troll people. Like, that's... we're not going deep. We're going to troll people. Like, that's what we're doing. We troll
people. I like it.
What's the most afraid you've ever been? And you just stare at them and just wait for the answer, you know?
No, we're not going to do that in Nashville. We don't scare people in Nashville.
What is
people
it?
People in Nashville have
Tell
guns.
Me.
Like we.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You will get shot.
Everyone's very heavily armed.
Children carried guns.
It's heavily armed. Right, exactly. But I know a dude in Nashville been shooting since he was 5 years
Absolutely
old.
Absolutely not. So yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah, we good.
There are two Nashvilles. There, you know, that Nashville, you don't want to ask them about being scared. All right. Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to hip-hop artist. You can't even call him a hip-hop artist. He trap and Latin and R&B. What Up RG joins us. He has an album out, a new album this fall called New Hollywood. We talked to him about that. You don't want to miss that. And at the end of the show, we have Hibachi Talk. I'm going to help you sharpen your Hibachi table social skills with a very special game. Look at us doing this on the fly. Hibachi Talk is coming up at the end of the show. You don't want to miss it. But stay tuned. Up next, right now, it's Slices. listening to Number One Pop Star. The song is Dance Away the Pain. I do that every night.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Time for
slices.
All right, what do you have, Jesse?
All right, I saw this story. It's posted over at relevantmagazine.com.
Is there construction going on within 15 feet of you? It sounds like it.
And I wasn't aware of this. I wasn't aware of this until I showed up today. I mean, it's not 15 feet. I'm in a closed, you can see, you know, doors and everything closed off. But, you know, it is nearby, and I was not aware. But I'm just rolling with it.
That's funny.
I'm asking the listeners to ignore the circular saw. I'm preparing people for the Hibachi podcast. There's a lot happening in the background on that show. Okay, yeah. People flinging shrimp.
Volcanoes. Yeah, there's volcanoes.
Yeah, shrimp being flung all over the place. You hear it whizzing by the mic.
You know, for the first time, I took some people to Hibachi a few weeks ago, and for the first time in my life, he didn't do the volcano. He did a tornado. Have you seen the tornado?
He kind of whips it up, like does a little circle of
air. He does the volcano, but then he flips over to another bottom and makes kind of a V, right? And he pours it in and fills it up so much. And then the smoke, he starts to do that with his finger. He spins it and it creates this tornado vortex. It's pretty amazing. It's better than the volcano. I'm never going back to the volcano.
So you're telling me the Hibachi's got is making a whole weather system right there on the grill.
That's what I'm saying. Volcanoes, that's amateur hour. He created a weather system in our dinner. It was great.
I need the listeners to know that as soon as Cameron mentioned the tornado of the Hibachi Grill, I've never seen Jesse's eyes light up like that. Like it just immediately. I wrote it like, and all the times we've been doing a podcast, his eyes, it was like, you just told him the greatest news in the world.
Created like a funnel.
Because I saw a video on Reddit one time. I was like, oh, that's fake. Obviously fake. Wait, you saw the weather system? That guy's there? Yeah. It's probably that same guy. I mean, how many could there be?
He's changing the game of Hibachi. I mean, like, he has set a level that I will never, I mean,
he's
nobody can reach
science kid out there.
Dude, it's amazing.
Weather manipulation. Yeah. For dinner. Yeah.
If you go to Hibachi, tell them you don't want the volcano anymore. Tell them you want the tornado. And if they don't know how to do it, you walk right out of there. That's a subpar Hibachi. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want that weak tornado stuff here or weak volcano.
Tornado or nothing. Premium.
Premium. As if like the other half lives. They don't bother with volcanoes. Like, the 1%, they have Hibachi tornadoes.
Hibachi tornadoes. Yeah. Nothing
I mean,
else.
Probably weather systems we don't even know about. They probably got a little hurricane brewing over
lightning and thunder somewhere.
He just goes,
wildfires, kind
of blow, you know, the eye of the storm.
Over there in the tofu, they do a wildfire, you know,
A little earthquake to shake up the rice. Yeah, who knows what they got. Okay, I saw the story. It's on relevantmagazine.com. You guys know me. Once again, I feel like I've talked at length about my lifetime love of Hot Pockets. You know, ever since they poked those holes on the sides of the sleeves for the microwave to let it vent out so they don't explode out the back ends. You guys know what I'm talking about.
I do not, but
I've been pretty convinced that they're a company at the forefront of innovation. Okay. they have found ways to not only jam frozen meats into a pastry pocket that's good for all of time, as long as it's frozen. They also got this the whole sleeve system.
Yeah.
The sleeve system is impressive when you think about what it's like tinfoil in the microwave. They figure it out. I don't know how. I don't ask.
Have they seriously, I haven't had a Hot Pocket in 20 years. My last experience with a Hot Pocket was, it was like
a ventilated sleeve.
It squirted out the back and that cheese stuff burned on the sleeve. And then, the front quarter and the back quarter were pretty good, like hot. And then in the middle, it was just a totally different temperature.
They have these strategically engineered little cutouts that circulate the heat to the middle of the hot pocket and work out. I'm telling you, There's somewhere there's someone that has an engineering and design degree that's like, yeah, all I do is hot pocket sleeves. Like, this is cutting edge type of technology.
They worked at NASA. They wanted something more innovative. They went to hot pockets.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Next stop, Domino's. Those guys are always making, I'm always seeing commercials for, you know, they're going to have robots delivering their pizzas soon. You know,
the foodie in me is appalled at this where we're at right now. Like, I am just appalled.
What is offensive to you about this, Derek?
Bruh. The whole thing. Why are we talking about Hot Pockets, bro? I just need to understand. Bro, I have not had a Hot Pocket since I was
a kid.
I've not had a Hot Pocket in a long time. Well,
that explains a lot.
You know what I'm realizing as we're talking about this? The most innovative food companies are the worst food. Because it's
interesting,
like,
take.
You talked about Domino's. They have robots and stuff. But think about this. I just saw this week that Denny's has your food delivered by a robot now. They have like robots roaming the restaurant with your plates on them, and it comes up to your table and you just take your plates off and then the robot goes.
I think that might be to minimize fights at Denny's because, you know, the Denny's waiters and waitresses.
No, I think it's because they not making no money because don't nobody go there. So they had to get rid of some waitresses and they bought a robot.
Either way. There's someone who works for Denny's who makes robots.
That's what I'm
just
saying.
Think about that.
That's what I'm saying. They're investing like, in R&D of tech. All these companies is like hiring the brightest minds in science.
They need to invest in better pancake batter or local sausage or like cheese that's not crusty. Like,
you want a farm-to-table Denny's experience? You want locally sourced eggs and stuff at Denny's?
Sure. Okay. Why should our food be packed from all across the country? Like, why can't, if I have my Denny's in Nashville, is not getting its ingredients from Nashville? That's the problem.
I mean, consistency and stuff, but all right.
I like to think that if you went to the Disney headquarters, which in my mind is a skyscraper, lower Manhattan, there is a floor there that is like that floor in The Dark Knight where Morgan Freeman takes Batman down there and he shows him all the cool R&D, like cars coming out of the floor, like DARPA guns and stuff. And like, you know, at the Denny's headquarters, it's just a bunch of engineers working on the most insane robots you've ever seen solely to put syrup on pre-made pancakes and waffles. I love that. That's actually happening.
And all the best like app developers that got laid off this year, they're being hired up by Domino's and Hot Pockets and, you know. Yeah.
This is not good. This is not good. We need to put that innovation somewhere else.
No, Derek, it's fantastic because for a long time, the biggest innovation and the whole fast food and the whole delivery thing was those little three-legged tables they put in pizza boxes so the middle doesn't collapse on. Right. That was the most innovative thing they'd ever done.
The pinnacle.
For like 30 years, they're like, we're never going to advance past
that. Then they invented the delivery insulated thing that the delivery guy would have. That, you know, that made it on the scene.
That
after
was huge.
The,
that yeah, was huge. Yeah.
Some of these places need to invent good food.
So back to Hot Pockets.
You haven't even had a Hot Pocket in your adult life. Okay.
Yeah, give Hot Pockets a try.
I'm sorry for the digression.
Good food.
The point is they're a very innovative company. They have now partnered with the Columbus Fashion Alliance, which is a quote collective of creatives passionate about the fashion industry in Columbus, Ohio.
What?
Which everyone knows is the Paris of Ohio. No, I'm not throwing shade on Columbus Fashion Alliance. They seem like good people. Anyway, they have designed the Hot Pocket shorts, which feature quote. This is from their press release, but you can go online, coolingrelevantmagazine.com, to look at it. Literal hot pockets that keep your sandwiches hot and your calves cool thanks to insulated cargo pockets. A true wintertime flex.
Hold on, you said sandwiches hot and your calves cool?
Yeah, because these are cargo. Imagine just your standard
cargo shorts.
Early 2000 Old Navy cargo shorts, okay? Mm-hmm. Now imagine a cool flaming Hot Pocket logo on one of the pockets. It's insulated. So you slide the Hot Pocket right in there. It keeps it hot on the go. They also are selling a matching hoodie too for the you know, if you really want that Hot Pocket drip, right? But right now, an insulated pocket for you to slide the Hot Pocket right in. I mean, it's
what?
It's just showing
the peak of fashion.
The innovation.
Peak of fashion.
Yeah. And Yeah, I mean, it's got utility too, you know?
I had a car once that the glove box had the option, the AC would cool it. Like you could put your takeout in there and it'd keep your food cool in the glove box. I thought that was amazing. It was a car I used to have. That's what this Hot Pocket shorts are doing, but on your clothes, you can literally...
Exactly.
It's amazing.
I love it. And I think if anyone, you know, needs a last minute Christmas gift, solutions here.
I just wish I wore cargo shorts because I don't love the look of cargo shorts. But I also don't know, like, you can't just do this with like regular jeans.
Yeah. How else are you going to stick a Hot Pocket in your clothes if you don't have pockets? You got to have as many pockets.
Why would you stick a Hot Pocket in your clothes?
Can we get like a Hot Pocket purse?
Why would you stick it in your clothes?
Because you're running late, right? And you have 2.5 minutes to heat up a Hot Pocket, but you don't have time to let it cool and eat it. So
get an apple.
It's like, oh man, I got a lunch meeting today. I didn't.
What about a banana? Some grapes? Trail mix?
Yeah, what are you just carry them around your hand? Like, no, this is an insulated. This is an insulated strategic pocket. And look, we're all out there playing checkers. Hotbox been playing chess for years. Okay.
It did make me think of that scene in Napoleon Dynamite when he puts tater tots in his pocket.
Tots.
He would have really benefited from an insulated cargo short for his tots. Yeah.
No, he wouldn't have.
Derek, some of us are busy. We're on the go. And I don't have time to sit and eat. I need to walk briskly with the convenience of khaki cargo shorts. And...
Don't nobody want to eat a dirty Hot Pocket out your cargo shorts. Could you imagine just sitting down? And
Put my keys in there. I'd put my keys on the other side.
It doesn't matter. The preservatives used in the Hot Pocket creation process will kill any bacteria. Don't worry about it. You could peel loose change off the Hot Pocket while you're eating it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. The grease will kill it. The grease will kill. I could eat the coins right now if I wanted to. I mean, they came in close proximity to a Hot Pocket. It's sterilized. Trust me. Nothing can live.
Enjoy your linty Hot Pocket.
All right. What do you have, Derek?
Boston just voted to lower the legal voting age from 18 to 16. So they're the first major city to do so. So
that's interesting.
It's crazy. It still has to, you know, obviously this is the first step. It has to go to the mayor before heading to legislature, but it wouldn't affect federal voting or state. It would just literally just be in Boston. So,
oh, okay.
But yeah, the city of Boston.
But I mean, Boston's huge. Lowered it
for municipals. Yeah, I mean, it's humongous.
This is interesting because I think
it is.
A lot of people have always argued, you know, there's so many different thoughts about voting, but, you know, I had tons of people when they were, I knew tons of people when they were 16, they were working, they were paying taxes. They were very much a lot of them were more on their own than other 16-year-olds. And I think it's important to acknowledge that and give them the opportunity. I think some people are nervous that, you know, if we lower it, then, you know, a 16-year-old is just going to vote for something silly or, you know, write in someone dumb. But think about it. I mean, the younger demographic.
It's a lot of adults that voted for some dumb people too.
Right, so, right. It affects all generations.
So age is not like you don't gotta be 16 to be dumb. It's some 36-year-old idiots out here. So you know, hey, I ain't tripping.
Look, if you're 16 and you're out there, whether you work or not, but if you're working, your taxes are going somewhere that come out of your paycheck. If you're getting, if you're old enough to get taxed. In my opinion, you're old enough to have your vote be heard and about how that's being spent. You know, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Right. This is just for the city, but I'd be interested to see if this eventually does, you know, probably decades down the road, but if it leads to the federal voting age being lowered as well. Be interesting.
That is interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah. I could see the argument for raising the voting age. I could see the argument for lowering it. That's interesting. See. See how it plays out. All right. Yeah. What do you have, Emily?
Okay. So last week we talked about how Merriam-Webster's word of the year was gaslighting. Barf. We're not going to talk about that anymore. we are going to talk about.
We didn't, hey, Emily, we didn't talk about that. I think you're mistaken.
Just even you doing that, I start sweating.
You feel like we talked about it. We did not talk about it, Emily. We did not talk about gaslighting.
I literally can't react to that. It just, oh gosh, it just hurts me.
I'm sorry.
No, it was funny. I do want to talk about Oxford's Dictionary Word of the Year because I relate to that one a lot more. Their word of the year was goblin mode. Do y'all know what goblin mode, like if someone's like, I'm going goblin mode. Do you know what that means?
No.
It's a very social media term.
It is a social media term. Yeah. Basically, so, well, here, I'll read the definition from Oxford Dictionary. It's a type of behavior that is typically self-indulgent, lazy, or greedy, often in a way that rejects social norms or expectations.
So basically the creation of Hot Pocket shorts is a company going goblin.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it really came out because just during the pandemic, no one really knew how to react or how to act at all. And so they just kind of, like, for lack of a better word, turned into a goblin. And we all went goblin mode. And so I think it's funny that Oxford picked this as the word, or that they crowned it as the word of the year. Because in a way, I think it sort of represents us. What was funny is the president of Oxford University Press, he said, quote, given the year we've just experienced, goblin mode resonates with all of us who are feeling a little overwhelmed at this point. It's a relief to acknowledge that we're not always the idealized, curated selves that we're encouraged to present on our Instagram and TikTok feeds. And I think that's important. Like, I think 5 years ago, no one posted an Instagram photo without a filter, without making sure everything looked good. Now, people post, quite honestly, some very unflattering photos and very messy. But,
well, Be Real has kind of been a big part of that.
For sure. You know? Yeah. Be Real is like, I can't wait to look back at the memories that I posted this year because they are, and there's been some interesting Be Real moments. But we all went a little goblin mode this year. And I like the representation.
I think it's interesting that how they chose it, because the Merriam-Webster one was like, gaslighting was the most searched term this year on their website, sort of a thing. There was, like, they didn't just pick it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they just pick goblin mode because they felt it represented 2022? Or was there, did they say, like, what the criteria was?
Oh, sorry. It was voted. There was a vote online they kind of gave a couple options. Metaverse came in second. So they picked words that gained some popularity this year that a lot of people were searching, looking up. And then they just kind of let audiences vote on, like, what do you think really Got represents it. The year. And so I think it was,
and this is why 16-year-olds shouldn't vote,
because they'll just go goblin.
The word of the year for 16 for 2022 is goblin mode. So yeah, there you
but
go.
Hey, if it's accurate, it's accurate.
my this is all I have to say about the case for 16-year-olds voting. Okay. Could be much worse.
True.
I mean, what are they going to mess it up better than, more than grown-ups did, you know?
True.
All right, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, What Up RG joins us.
1, 2, 3, 4. I can't find my feet anymore. My hands are drifting through the floor. I'm haunting you. I'm haunting you. You don't see me walk through the walls and you're ignoring all my calls.
You're listening to Hey Nothing. The song is I Haunt Your Dreams. Great song.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is What Up RG. He's a hip-hop artist who uses a unique blend of trap, rap, R&B, and Latin rhythms, and his lyrics are often introspective and thought-provoking. He's been making music since he was a teenager. He's released several mixtapes and albums over the years. His newest album is called New Hollywood, and to tell us a little bit more about it, here's our conversation with What Up RG.
For me to get back on the grind again. Let me tell you about the demons I've been battling. Couldn't go back to the struggle, man. I had to win. To the devil back.
You have a very interesting story, and I would actually love for you to share some of your story and your background for people that maybe don't know your upbringing, however much you feel comfortable sharing.
I'm a Mexican, first generation Mexican American artist based out here in Atlanta. I feel like I've known this is what I wanted to do. Like, so I was like 7 years old when I first got on stage and like was doing a cover song to like one of my favorite rappers. And I was like seven when that happened. And since then, I just never put the microphone down. I just kept going, learned how to write my own raps, eventually learned how to produce. And then, you know, I was working at a call center and I kept getting in trouble for like being distracted. So like I'm taking all these calls and stuff, and that my manager kept getting on me for just getting distracted. I'm always doing something else. And I realized I'm sitting there like thinking through like my next song I'm gonna release. And I'm sitting there thinking through like song ideas or merch ideas, design ideas. And yeah, that was definitely my last job. I told myself like, you know what, maybe I should just pursue this all the way. And I dropped my first single, Don't Forget to Live. Yeah, I mean, the rest is history. That's the song that Ace discovered. Ace is the A&R over here at Reach. He discovered that, and I mean, the rest is history. 2019 couldn't get no rest. 2021 and I haven't slept. I'm blessed, I can't live my life depressed. I rest and know when the father don't check for best. He's looking for spirit and truth. Kind of taking that leap of faith, what was it like? Like, were you nervous? Did you, like, what did you feel about that? I wasn't really nervous. I was more so just ready to take on whatever came with it. I feel like I mentioned my parents a lot, but I've always had their support. I've always had them backing me, and you know, obviously rapping isn't like a traditional job. Like, it isn't like something that's like consistent, even definitely at first. Like, I wasn't seeing any money, but if anything, I was losing money. But, you know, my parents were just supportive and they were there with me. And, you know, it's crazy to share these moments with them now. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom's going to look up this interview as soon as it drops. And even just like dropping my album, you know, I just dropped my album, my debut album, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, the first person I was talking to was my dad, you know. So it's really cool to share these moments. And, you know, just, I feel like I get to reward the people who believe in me with just putting in the work and continuing to push forward.
I'm never solo, whole lot of fans in Abu Dhabi, la-di-da-di, who wanna party, coming in hot, it's like wasabi, walking on waves, look like tsunami.
Even mentioned like your song 3 AM, like about your dad's deportation, and after that, you know, like, what was it like to write that song and kind of relive that and reprocess all of that?
It was tough. it was tough, but for me, you know, there's songs that you kind of like, it takes you a while to write, and then there's songs that just kind of like, once the inspiration sparks, like, it's just 30 minutes later it's done. And for me, I had that bridge, the I don't pray like I used to, I can't wait, can't keep waiting on you, like, I had that. I think I recorded that. It was almost like a freestyle, I think. I recorded that, and then I was sitting like just trying to find like direction, and it just hit me like, yo, I'm gonna speak on this, like, this is it. And once I sat down, it was, you know, it was just ideas started flowing, and I didn't feel like I was reaching for anything, because it was just like speaking my experience and just rhyming. But I think it was hard to relive, but I think on the other side of it, like, it makes it that much more rewarding to know that like my story can touch people, and that it can bring hope to people. So yeah.
Oh, how shook when the cops knock. Oh, how shook when the cops knock. 4 AM and they want pops. 4 AM and they want pops. Daddy turned around, said farewell. Mama crying on the stairwell. Little brother, go look out the window. Why daddy got handcuffs
on him? Say a Christian who hasn't gone through that experience, but they listen to your music. Like, what do you hope they take away from listening to that experience?
I just hope that they could hear me. Like rather than listening with like a presumption of what I'm going to talk about or like what I'm going to say, like I just hope that they can hear me, because it's not just my story, it's thousands and thousands of other people's story. I just hope that they can maybe have compassion, and we're not just like dishwashers, we're not just like home cleaners, we're not just construction workers, we're not like, we are we're families that are hardworking, but we're also, we have our own struggles, we have our own attentions and things we deal with throughout life, and we're so underrepresented and misrepresented. Like I hope that they can hear me.
Cul-de-sac, I've been in a cul-de-sac, treat me like the quarterback. I've been in my pocket and I still ain't got my photos back. That when someone stole the Mac, I was feeling so attacked. Almost
that was What Up RG. Check out his new albums, New Hollywood. It's available now. Listening to Metronomy and Hakberna. The song is Right on Time. Well, earlier in the show, we were talking hibachis and Jesse's desire to start a podcast sitting around a hibachi with a bunch of strangers. And we thought, we want to help you all, dear listener, with your hibachi socialness, I guess. Yeah. So in this segment, we're doing hibachi talk. Hibachi talk. We're going to pose some questions to you guys, which are sample questions that you can use in your daily life next time you're at a hibachi and you want to make small talk with the strangers around you. Hibachi talk. All right.
I love it.
So here we go. You can use this question and you guys can answer. What secret superpower would you like to have? That's actually not a bad icebreaker for a person at a hibachi table. What secret superpower would you like to have?
It has to be secret, right? Like you,
secret. Like Judas Smith playing the saxophone on Lana Del Rey's album that we talked about in last episode. Secret skill that he has. Your secret superpower.
Well, it takes flying out, because flying's the default, but it's very hard to be conspicuous while you're flying, right? Ooh. Like cats out of the bag right away. I mean,
interesting.
I mean, honestly, it's got to be mind reading, right? I mean, wouldn't that be the ultimate
superpower? That's what mine
superpower?
Is. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But didn't Mel Gibson have that movie where he could hear women's thoughts and it like ruined his life?
I just don't think he handled his power well.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm allowed to put qualifiers on my superpower. I want to be able to choose when I mind read. Like, I don't want to just be like overwhelmed with everyone's thoughts. I want to be able to
control
it. I want to be able to single someone out and be like, what are you thinking right now? And I think that might be better. I don't know if you're allowed to control superpowers. I don't know how superpowers work.
You're supposed to be able to control it. You need to go to Professor X, be an X-Man, so he could teach you how to control
X-Woman.
It. For sure.
Derek, I feel like X-Woman. you're pretty dialed in to the spectrum of superpowers. You're a consumer of a lot of superhero content. What would your secret superpower be, knowing that you have, like I said, probably the most knowledge of these type of powers out of anyone here?
I think I'm going to go to Batman route and say my superpower is that I'm rich.
But it's got to be secret. It's got to be secret.
Right.
So I mean, you can't tell anybody.
It's all underground.
Yeah. That would be my secret power. It's just like, hey, Batman, look, whatever superpower you have, Batman has enough money to neutralize it. Yeah. So, I think that would be my superpower is that I'm just ridiculously loaded.
All right, here's another hibachi talk option. You're sitting down. Hi, nice to meet you. It's like, hey, I think he might do the tornado tonight,
Oof.
Like, get ready. So a little small talk. What lie do you keep telling yourself?
Oh
Like, what lie do you keep telling yourself?
Wow, this is getting personal and deep. Well, this is the one. No, you know this is
maybe this is Pedal Tavern talk.
Yes, this is what I want to hear drunken people on Broadway talk about.
What lie do you keep talking? I do about? Convince because I'm obviously from this episode you can tell I'm a junk food aficionado. I try to tell I always tell myself, well, you know, look, if you break down what's in this burrito, it's actually pretty healthy, right? Even though I'm eating it from Taco good. Bell. Like that's in good. My mind, I will lie to him. It's only beans. Beans can't be that bad. They're a vegetable, I think. Meat or meat-like protein. Yeah, yeah. But either way, I constantly tell myself that lie. But in my mind, there's a couple hibachi table stereotypes, you know. One of them is like the business guy that just got off work and it was a long day, but he's got like the rolled down necktie and he's kind of sweaty and he's got his sleeves, dress shirt sleeves rolled up. You don't ask that question. This is not a question you ask that guy or it's going to get heavy real quick.
Yeah.
You go ask the little kid with the family, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What about you guys? What lie do you tell yourself?
I'm going to the gym.
That's good. That's good. Emily.
I feel like I feel like it's going to sound sadder than I mean it to, but it's really not. I feel like I tell myself I'm a lot cooler than I actually am.
Emily, you're very cool. Let's
I don't
that
know. I mean, again, I think I'm cool. I think there might be other people out there that have strong arguments against that, and that's fine.
For the next 40 minutes, the entire hibachi table is telling you all the wonderful things about yourself and how great you are.
That was my plan all along.
Yeah, there you go. That's brilliant hibachi talk. Mm-hmm. Hi, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. I heard the white sauce is great here. Hey, by the way, what movie always makes you sad or even cry? What movie always makes you sad or even cry?
I don't have one.
I always cry in Little Women. The one that just came out in 2019. I've seen it like seven
times.
Because
they're so tiny.
And they're like, just so tiny.
It's tough for them to climb up into chairs and stuff.
No, it's because I love them so much that they're like, I'm like the fifth sister in my mind. And I just care about them so much.
So is that movie or book actually about little people?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, yo, what kind of... What in the world?
Their life is so hard, Derek. Derek, she cries because their life is so hard because the doorknob is up too tall. They can't quite reach it. You know, like, it's such a struggle.
I honestly could not catch the sarcasm. I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I've never seen it, never read the book. It don't come across my timeline. Nothing happens.
No, no, no. It's about young women. Like, little women. It's a family of four sisters and just kind of like their life growing up in like the late 1800s. England.
I'm definitely not watching.
It's
that
a very
one.
White movie, I'll be honest, but it is.
The last thing I want to do is learn about white women in the 1800s.
Okay, but it's like a really, this is like a really good one. I just want to clarify. Like,
I bet it's great, but I ain't watching it.
Fair enough.
I bet it's great. Case. I'm sure it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it though.
Nope. There you go.
It's not my target. I'm not the target audience. I can tell you that now. Now, if you said those women had, one of them had lasers shooting out their eyes, one of them was invincible, the other one could read minds, and one other one could fly. Now you got my attention.
I'm watching.
You got my attention.
It's in the 1800s you got too.
In the 1800s? Oh yeah. Oof. You got my attention.
Whole twist.
Marvel.
On the genre.
Where you at? DC. James Gunn, you just took over the superhero department. Little Women with superpowers.
Little Wonder Women.
Holla at your boy. Little Wonder Women. Holla at your boy. Holla at your boy. Just give me 0.5%. That's all I want.
I don't really get emotional in movies, but sometimes I'll rewatch or just like clips on YouTube of like movies I really loved like growing up. Like the old school like Adam Sandler movies, like
you cried
Billy
in
Madison
Adam
or
Sandler
Happy
movie?
Gilmore. No, no, hold on, let me. Or like Ace Ventura. I was showing my son like clips from Ace Ventura movies or like Chris Farley movies, like the movies that. And I get sad because I'm like, I don't think they make comedies like this anymore. Like, man, that mid-budget comedy with an SNL personality like fronting it have gone away. For a long time, it was like, let's take someone funny off SNL and just put him in an hour and a half, a 90-minute long SNL sketch, and we're going to release these all the time.
Yeah.
And I love them, but they've gone away. Will Ferrell had that great streak. They even like Anchorman, but they don't make him anymore. And I think that's a bummer. I don't cry about it, but I do like the streaming's really elbowed these movies out. Mm-hmm. There's no market anymore.
I can't believe you cried at an Adam Sandler movie. That makes sense, though.
Hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the salad. What's the nicest thing you've ever done for someone? What's the nicest thing you've ever done?
Salad at Hibachi. If you're eating salad at Hibachi, you're doing it wrong, man.
The Hibachi has a little salad.
Ginger dressing is great.
The ginger dressing is great. What are you talking about, Jesse?
That's garnish. That's garnish. That's not meant to be eaten. That's not meant to be eaten.
For sure.
It's like all wet. It's like, it's almost like the lettuce is like translucent. It's like, oh, I don't think this is the freshest head of lettuce here.
What's the nicest thing you've ever done for someone? Little icebreaker question with your table mates.
Man, so there was this woman that was on the side of the car, on the side of the road, and I kid you not, man, her battery had died. And none of us had jumper cables. So I just, I looked at her. I said, hey, do you believe? She said, yeah, I believe. I closed my eyes. I put my head on the engine. And then I said, wake up. And the car came to life. And she went on about her day. So,
And you guys have been married for 11 years now. Okay. That's how I met your mother, kids. That's how I met your mother. I healed her battery. That's a crazy story, Derek. Are you serious? Yeah. That's nuts.
No, hey, I'm laughing because it's funny because nobody here got it. But if all of y'all was on Black Twitter, y'all would get it because Kevin Gates told that story he told that story on like the Breakfast Club or something. And everybody was like, bro, this is the craziest lie I ever heard in my entire life. I'm going to send you the clip. It's the craziest thing I ever seen in my life, yo.
Where LeBron's like, dude, I was listening to Migos like when I was like 12.
LeBron got called out because he was literally after got killed. Like he was like, yeah, I put the Miami Heat onto him in 2010. Their first mixtape was in 2011. And then the internet went sleuthing and found 50 times LeBron lied for absolutely no reason, like trying to be cooler than he is or whatever. It's crazy. Yeah. That was a fun week on Twitter.
That was.
All right. Well, you know what? I got distracted by the lettuce stuff. There's a lot. I think we need to come back to Hibachi talk. I think that was a good opening of Hibachi talk. That's good. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank What Up RG for joining us. Make sure to check out his new album, New Hollywood. It's available everywhere you get your music. Also, it's the Christmas season. Speaking of music, go over to Spotify. Check out the very relevant Christmas playlist. you can just find it by searching for A Very Relevant Christmas. It's over 200 songs, handpicked, no Mariah Carey. It's a great shuffle for the background for the car ride. We did it just for you. Hey, also, I don't know if you've been following Relevant on all the socials, but we've been posting a lot more on Instagram lately, more of our content. We realized we're putting out like 10, 15 articles a day covering, the intersection of faith, culture, life, with features, news updates, all the stuff. Funny stuff, random stuff, slices stuff. And if you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, you see it all. If you aren't on Twitter and Facebook, which a lot of you aren't, if you're just on IG and TikTok, you're not seeing any of it. So we decided to take a lot more of our content over to IG. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us. It's Relevant Magazine is the name. And in the new year, you're going to be seeing a lot more from us in the video space. So you can just proactively follow us on TikTok if you want to, Relevant Magazine's the handle there as well. If you're not on the socials, just make sure to bookmark relevantmagazine.com and make it part of your daily web browsing. And right there on the front page, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. It's the top 5 trending stories in your inbox every morning. It's a great way to stay plugged in, There's a lot of other stuff. There's a magazine. There's other things to check out on the website. Go check it out, relevantmagazine.com. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Derek Miner.
We will see you next time. Have a great week, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Weather manipulation for dinner.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.